see a bit more clearly.
Let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll sing some songs.
Amen.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength, and for the lovely weather, for each of the souls that's here this morning. Pray your good hand upon us, Lord. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would be one of our number, that you would minister to us, that you would find our prayers and praises acceptable in your sight, our tithes, our offerings, our reading and teaching of your word, Lord, and our time in your house. Please bless it, I pray, and that of our brethren, wherever it is they might be. We pray for the Trump family at the moment. I pray, too, for the families of those that were injured and have lost their lives as a result of that shooting. For, Lord, all the ones that are fighting the wars across the world, whilst the ones that start them are sitting safe at home. I pray you, Lord, we know, Lord, it says wars and rumours of wars, but I pray you, Father, please, for souls to be saved, to seriously consider where it is that they spend their eternity. But in the meantime, Father, I pray you, please, and thank you for all that you've done for us, for your Son, for the free gift of everlasting life and the good sense to accept it, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for your word, and for brethren, Lord. Please bless us, Lord, I pray you now. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, we are going to begin with number 56 in the big book. Hymn number 56 in the big book is When We All Get to Heaven. Hymn number 56, When We All Get to Heaven.
We'll sing and shout the name.
by way of a little bit of a warning. I don't know what the official reading is on pollen this morning, but it was high enough that whenever I came out for a walk, I could feel my eyes starting to tear up, and normally I don't suffer from hay fever. So if you feel your eyes starting to get itchy or dry, that's the reason why. We're in the country, we're surrounded by fields and lots of plants and things, but amen. So that's why your eyes are maybe feeling it a bit. If you don't have that, amen. I wish it was you, but unfortunately, I'm suffering a bit. 281. 281 is "Pass me not, O gentle Saviour." And if you're fit, stand with me as we sing 281.
Happens in the last week or in the last 24 hours, I should say, this is a very appropriate chapter in my thoughts anyway. Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and brethren. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves with modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works, that the woman learns to silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to observe authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed when Eve, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved from childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate 1 and 2 Timothy. Excellent exhortation there from an old preacher to an up and coming preacher, young Timothy, and much good church advice in there. Amen. I just want to remind everybody to make sure that they get one of these little green prayer lists. The additions that we have to this are the Catalano family at this time. Last week, my brother-in-law lost his sister. Unfortunately, she wasn't saved. She was a Roman Catholic lady from a Roman Catholic family. And a few family members are saved, and hope and pray that this will give souls pause for thought. The Word of God tells us it is better to be in the house of mourning than in the house of feasting. Because people be thinking on real important things whenever they consider loved ones and friends that have stepped off into eternity. Please do remember that. We also have a request for Will, on top of everything else, for his ear. And I think that's about that. Is there anything else that anybody would like to add to? Yes, Steve, go ahead.
I'd like us to say to pray for Pat. Since you know, she developed an apnea. She has had an X-ray.
She developed a what?
Apnea.
Oh, a heart murmur.
Yeah. They said there's not really much to go on, but she has to have a little MRI. Please pray that all goes well. Also, but she has also trouble with her hip. She's receiving physiotherapy for it.
It's not good. Certainly be remembering Pat in prayer for her heart murmur and her head. Is there anything else anyone would like to add?
Agnesson has his camera test to check for cancer on Tuesday. And Joan will be having an ablation.
Goodness.
Heart ablation. I'm not sure if it's this Thursday or next Thursday.
Heart ablation?
Ablation, ABLA. They go in and scrape out to try to make the rhythm go properly, I think.
I know, in case you're not familiar with the Bissett family, Ed Bissett actually did part of our wedding service, but he had cancer in the bladder, which was treated there near the start of the year. And so far, everything has been good, and he has been making an excellent recovery. So this is obviously just the tail end of his treatment and checking-ups.
Checking and then more treatment.
And then more treatment. Please do pray for his wife as well, who's having some heart difficulties too. Amen. All right, how are we fixed for? Oh, sorry, Steve.
I forgot myself. Two things. In my fistula, carries on working the way it is, they're going to be taking this thing out of my chest.
So fistula problems can come off then?
No fistula problems, they're taking off the... Both Donna's told me that in the next couple of weeks I'll be switched over to Marlins.
Oh, Brown's out. That's good.
But I have to do 4 hours. And 2 to 3 litres taken out.
So we'll put that under thanks then, will we?
Yeah.
Still behaving itself. It's the only part of you that is. Oh, did I say that? I don't know I'm supposed to think this.
You wonder why.
I'm glad you're okay, Steve.
I don't, yeah.
Hey, I'm glad it's working after the last couple of efforts that they put in.
Well, as long as you don't another blowout, obviously.
Left you high and dry.
Mark, that's heartless.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
I can't reach you.
Does anybody how are we fixed for private? Does anybody have private prayer requests? I just mark these down. Just keep your hands up if you would. Okay, thank you. And thanks. Obviously, the Steve's fistula is behaving itself. Do you know what your fistula reminds me of, Steve?
I know what it reminds me of in a minute.
It reminds me of the little pump that Norman put into our bathroom to pump the water, and you turn it on, and all you hear is woo.
That's just what it is.
And then whenever you say, put your finger on that, and you can feel the blood just whoosh, as your wrist was buzzing, as the fistula was...
Well, they put a stethoscope in your ear, and they let me hear it. I tell you, well, that's going to be faster, eh?
Good job. We're glad it's worked. Does anybody have any extra thanks? We have good result in High Court and prayers, blessings received, the work at the church. There's still a wee bit to do, but so far everything has worked very well. The more observant of you will have noticed the completion of the sheep wire on the fence as well. That was done just there on that Friday? On Friday. So... is there anything anyone would like to say thank you God for?
For all the blessings we received.
Yes, indeed.
There's a lot of holes in the fence, isn't there?
And that Steve's right arm is working for Stirling, so yes. Well, I'm glad that, well, thank the Lord that no President Trump wasn't killed, but please do be much in prayer. For those families that did lose loved ones because of that young fella on the roof.
Did the shooter lose his life?
Pardon?
The shooter.
Yeah. Please do pray for that. Is there anything else? Are we all good? Well, if you would you do the honours for us and lead us in a wee word of prayer, if you would, Will.
The Father, thank this day, Lord, thank you, Prince, and seal it to your house, Lord. Give us the stairways, warmly, Lord, and thy word, and the preaching from the Bible, Lord. Our praises and our supplications, and our praises be accepted on your side, Lord. Lord, remember the church of the people's hands yesterday and their houses, Lord. You might correct those that have read it, Lord. And use the Spirit to convince people to turn away from their sin and to accept salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord, as well, Lord. This was mighty powerful, Lord. Give us, as we start a new week, Lord, may we be Christ-centered, Lord. Be of our families, save any backsliders in our families, or any lost, Lord. This was mighty powerful, Lord. Give us say, Lord, this was mighty powerful, Lord. And give us a kiss, Lord. Give our world leaders, Lord, may give a touch from the Spirit, Lord. My conviction saved us, Lord, Lord, also push him on the right way, Lord, that you might live a peaceful life, Lord. Lord, it might, that the world may be steered in your direction, Lord, as should be, Lord. We've got to come to the Lord, Lord, you'll touch from the Spirit, Lord, and get our lives, Lord, more in tune with thee, and thy will, for thy honor, for thy glory, for his Christ's sake. Amen.
Thanks, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are going through the little hymn book, if you'd like to take a turn there. And I'd like to take a turn to number 11. Number 11 in the black hymn book is Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. We're going to sing that. We'll remain seated. Unless you have a great desire to stand up and sing out, the rest of us will be remaining seated, except for me. Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Long before.
Spend a few minutes on the subject of United, and I don't mean the football team, just in case anybody is football minded. We're not speaking of United, the football team. We are talking about people getting together. We're in John chapter 18. I would like to read the first 14 verses of this portion of God's Word. We will, of course, refer to other Bible verses as we go, because if we were going to read them all, we'd be here until about 1 o'clock. So we'll just refer to the rest as and when we need it. We're in John chapter 18. We are going to begin at verse number 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Soon then, as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. Servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up the sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Amen. That is our Bible reading. We are taking a couple of verses as the ones that we are mostly interested in this morning. Again, we will be referring to others. But let's have a very quick prayer and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we still have to preach the gospel and to, Lord, bring before you our prayer requests and petitions, to look to you for comfort and strength and wisdom, and lean on you, Lord, to trust in you with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding or our own arm, Lord. Please bless this time, Father, that we have together with each other and with you. And I want to thank you, Lord, for saving our souls and for the ministrations that you've sent our way. Please give us a portion of understanding from your word at this time. We love you and thank you. And we ask all these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Now, Norman did mention earlier on that the verses in 1 Timothy chapter 2, especially the ones where we are commanded to pray for the leaders of our country, where I suppose he was directed to them by the events that took place in America their time yesterday evening. My message was actually presented or finished yesterday evening, well before this happened. And I just want for you to know that as we go on into the message. Give me your, I think it was one of the Caesars said, friends, Romans and countrymen, lend me your ears for just a little moment of time. This may seem like a little bit out of context as we sit here on a beautiful Sunday summer morning with one of the best days we've had this month so far, giving us a little bit of sunshine and a little bit of heat and much pollen, that we should spend it considering the arrest of Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the Saviour of whosoever will. But I was reading this, and as I was, I read the whole chapter, and then I considered all of the people that were united together in their hatred of Jesus, in their desire to see him dead. And I considered this, and the first people, or the first person, wasn't Judas, even though his name is mentioned first. The first that I have down here, and you can read on the account in the book of John, in John 18 and John 19, and of course in Luke 23 and Matthew 27, it's quite literally a litany of corruption and jealousy and one thing and another. But I hope that you will see, I'm going to do this list of folks that details about the awful treatment that the Messiah received from the people that he came to seek and save. The first people that are mentioned by name, of course, are Annas and Caiaphas. As the Word of God says, Annas was the father-in-law of the high priest of the Jews, the government-appointed high priest of the Jews. And he prophesied, although not quite understanding, that it would be a good idea for one man to die for the country. In other words, it would be a good idea for Jesus to die so that he would have no competition and the status quo would be maintained. And that is why, in Caiaphas's eyes, that he had to die. So we had Caiaphas and Annas, the religion of the country that conspired with the following list of people to put Jesus on the cross. As we read on, we come across a man by the name of Pilate, P-I-L-A-T-E, as opposed to P-I-L-O-T, because he certainly wasn't navigating or going anywhere under his own control. He was the Roman governor, and he was tasked with keeping the peace. And Pilate, the Word of God literally says that I find no fault with this man. Four times. The people were told, this man has done nothing wrong, he is innocent. And in fact, at one point, he took a bowl of water out and he washed his hands in public and said, I have found him innocent, you have found him guilty, whatever comes from here on in is on you. Actually, it was on him. He was the Roman governor, and he should have said, unless you get back to your homes right about now, the soldiers are going to come in, and they're not going to be asking politely. During the Lord's stay, if you want to call it that, with Pilate, Pilate also sent Jesus to Herod. And he was the king of the Jews at the time. So probably another Roman-appointed figurehead, but absolutely crazy and power-mad. And the Bible records that Pilate and Herod were at odds with each other. They were enemies. They may even have had the odd assassination attempt on each other. I don't know if it quite went that far, but they were at odds. If you are a student of the Gospels, you will remember that there was one point that Herod desired to see Jesus, and Jesus referred to him as that old fox. But after Pilate sent Jesus to Herod, they were friends. Everything was hunky-dory between them. Of course, we have Rome in itself and Caesar, although not quite as overtly mentioned in the crucifixion of the Lord, but it was the Roman method of execution that was used to put the Lord to death. The Caesars of Rome were never a friend of the gospel. In fact, they instigated great persecutions of the early Christian church. And Nero, one of the Caesars, is reputed to have gone along through his garden at night using torches, which actually were Christians that were tarred and set on fire, just so that he could run through the garden in his chariot at night. The last one that I have mentioned here is Joe Public. And Joe Public here was easily swayed, subjugated by Herod, also subjugated by the Roman Empire, and of course further subjugated by the religious leaders of the day. They just said, "We want Barabbas. Release Barabbas to us. This man needs to be executed." And I'm sure we all remember the words of Pilate when he said, "I'm innocent of this man's blood." And the people cried, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." And the Lord honored that request. And for the past 2,000 years, that's exactly the way it has been. The Jewish people have suffered terribly. But the time for suffering terribly is drawn to a close. We also read about the armed forces of the day. They were under the control of Caiaphas and Annas and, of course, Pilate and Herod. And they just did what they were told. It was an illegal arrest. It was an unfair and biased trial. The Word of God says that they couldn't even meet the bare minimum of requirements for the Lord to be lawfully arrested. The Bible says their witness statements didn't agree with each other. And way back in Isaiah 53, the Word of God says, "As a lamb was dumb before her shearers, so he opened not his mouth," because he could have said, "There's no witnesses agreeing together against me, I'm free." He could have said that and walked out, but he never did, because he was to go as an innocent, clean substitute, of course, for our sins. All of these people would have had an axe to grind with everybody else there. But they were all united in their disdain and their hatred and their persecution and eventual execution of our Savior. They united. United by their jealousy and united by their love for power. So they took the one person out that threatened all of that and killed him. The Lord spoke many times and said, "Look, I have said all of these things before in public. You never said a thing to me then." And we know the reason for that is because whenever the Lord was giving them the words of eternal life, whenever the Lord was raising the dead, when he was feeding the 5,000, that they couldn't, because the people would have risen up against them. So that's the reason for the late night arrest and the trial out of the public eye. In fact, it's the very same reason that so much crime and so much sin and devilment goes on at night, because, as the Word of God says in John 3:19, it's our condemnation, it's the condemnation of mankind, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. even as if you were to read on through here, you would even see the hypocrisy of Annas and Caiaphas, these religious leaders. And they said, look, we don't want to go into the judgment hall because it's a Sabbath. Tomorrow's a Sabbath, not the Sabbath. And we don't want to be technically unclean. We have organized the downfall and death, unjust death of this man, but we want to be able to turn up at church tomorrow morning. That's literally what they said. And that's the sort of things that go on in the minds of people like this. Literally nothing. They could not stoop low enough to protect what it is that they have. And all that this did was make the Lord Jesus Christ, the first victim of his prophecy that he made in John chapter 16, that there will come a day that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And we see that even today. We also see how even though they could find nothing wrong with Jesus, they still managed to find a way to put the Son of David to death. Again, jealousy, pride, fear of looking small in front of the people that they took money off and got the greetings from and were lifted up on their shoulders by. Regardless of their label, regardless of what people, what language they speak, what currency they spend, what age they are, most folks are motivated, sadly, by pride and fear, and what other people think of them, and power and influence. But the one other thing that they all have in common is that they will happily come together against God and his people. I know there's a whole bunch of things going on out in the world right now. Our last night news about the assassination attempt on President Trump is just one of those things that's going on. It's just a symptom of the rot that there is in society. But if you even think about the so-called Christian religions that are out there, just think about it. Now, hold that thought and consider this. If you watch and are entertained by violence and profanity and immorality and the occult and all of those things, if those are the things that you enjoy watching on TV and talking about, communicating about, those things are going to affect you. Everybody knows that. That's why the Bible says that evil communications corrupt good manners. So also going to the wrong church and believing the wrong things is going to affect you too. Most importantly, for your need for salvation. I'm going to do me first, because I used to be a Presbyterian. I was raised up in a Presbyterian home. I was a nominal Christian, if you know what that is. I went to a Presbyterian church, and after that I was glad to get out alive and make it home and enjoy my dinner and think that I had avoided that torture for another week. Most of the Presbyterian churches are governed by a teaching called Calvinism, which teaches that God has decided who is going to heaven and who is going to hell. And that's not right. The King James Bible says, and Bible-believing Christians believe what it says, that we decide whether we are going to heaven or hell. We choose whether to accept Christ as our Savior or reject him as our Savior. We choose that. And we bear the responsibility or the blessing through eternity. If we choose Christ as our Savior, we're saved, we're kept, and we're assured for heaven as if we were standing there right now. If we reject, we bear the accountability, and we will spend some time in hell and forever in the lake of fire, being tormented, regretting and remembering that we rejected a free gift that would have given us everything. That is Calvinism for you. Roman Catholic Church don't believe what the Bible says. If we say that we are saved by faith and kept by Christ, that is an anathema in the Catholic Church to say that you're saved by faith. The Roman Catholic Church, like many other churches, the Methodist Church, the Church of Ireland, are, and indeed the Presbyterian Church, are, your salvation is based on you. And it's up to you to maintain it. The Methodist Church, for instance, says you can lose your salvation, but they never tell you how, and there's no mention of how you get it back again. That's not the Bible. Church of Ireland is pretty much the Roman Catholic Church with the king at the head of it instead of the pope. And tend to believe that Jesus died on the cross so that everybody would go to heaven. And that is wrong. The Lord gave his life on the cross so that all men everywhere could be saved if they choose. If we were to look at the Latter-day Saints of the Mormon Church, they believe that the Messiah is the half-brother to Satan. But the Bible says Satan was created and created perfect in all his ways by Christ until iniquity was found in. And that's sort of like a major foundational lie. And that, yes, you can be saved by faith, but you must maintain your salvation with works. The Bible says Jesus saves you and Jesus keeps you. The Jehovah's Witness believe that Jesus fainted on the cross and revived in the coolness of the tomb and snuck away. My Jesus gave his life on the cross and paid for the sins of whoever would come to him with his shed blood. The atheist doesn't believe there's a God, we're just animals, and that's fine, you have the up there in your head, you can believe anything you want. The pagans worship many gods, but the Bible says that in John 14 that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Satanists, you don't have to worry too much about that and wondering what they believe. They believe that Satan is going to win the war, and whatever you want is the most important thing in the world. The Muslim, to be sure of heaven, you must give your life in jihad with the blood of many unbelievers on your hands. Muslims worship a moon god, just one of many, many gods. And the one thing that all of these religions and every other religion except Bible believe and Christianity have in common is that they are all united in rejecting God's word, providing a way for man to justify himself. And they don't like Jews and Christians, real Christians. They all claim to be equal alternatives. And yet the only thing they're united on is their hatred of the real deed. They all are quite comfortable in the World Council of Churches and in the ecumenical movement. And they all contain a watered-down soup of the bits, of the only bits that they can chow down on in common as they sit at the same table. Every one of them is happy to persecute and legislate against and even imprison Bible-believing Christians in their toleration of everything, including the LGBTQIM++. They'll tolerate everything, even the worst child abuse, except the word of God. They are united in their hatred of God's word. In fact, their unity is so mind-bogglingly hypocritical that you even have Queers for Palestine trying to march alongside the Muslims that are marching for Palestine. We see the results of that on the news many times when the homosexuals and those in the LGBT movement get a crack in the ear from the Muslim marches because they don't like homosexuals. And if everybody was to sit down and write down everything that they believe, they would find that they have almost as little in common with each other as they do with God. Every single one of these institutions of the people that are involved in them have a deep spiritual void. All that space has to be filled up with something. If it's not filled up with the God of the Bible, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Space for hatred, for murders, for thefts, for immoralities, for lies, for rebellion, for the rejection of God. Space for everything, for cars, for houses, for all that stuff. And every time they come into the presence of the Word of God or you as a faithful Christian, they are reminded that they're wrong. And that irks a lot of people. The Word of God tells us that whenever one Christian meets another, that the Spirit in me beareth witness with the Spirit in you that we are the children of God. But the Spirit in me also beareth witness with the spirit of man and other people that they are not the children of God, and people don't like that. They are united in not having Christ as their Savior. They are not the children of God. Here's something else that they're united in. No personal relationship with Jesus Christ, with our Father in heaven, or with having, as we mentioned, the Holy Spirit living with them all the time. That other comforter and all the blessings that he provides, that's not there. Don't have that. There's no promise of heaven. Or let me put it another way, there is a promise of heaven, but there's no assurance of heaven. No assurance of salvation. There's no preaching on Jesus keeping you in the palm of his hand. There is no blessed hope or the unfulfilled as yet promise of a home in heaven, just the promise of a time out in the lake of fire, a life running from pillar to post, trying to forget or distract a soul from their eternity, and an eternity in hell in the lake of fire. There's no forgiving Father in heaven. There's only a judge. There's no one to talk to about everything. There's no peace that passeth all understanding. There's no intercessor in the Son or the Holy Ghost. Whenever souls that are not saved open the Bible, there's a tiny little bit of it that's for them, but the rest of it, it's like reading somebody else's meal. That little bit is for the lost soul, is to repent of your sins and trust in the Lord, to call upon him while he's near. For whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. They don't have that. They don't have the sacrifice that Jesus made, but they could. Something else that every Christ rejecter will be united in is in hell. I wouldn't want that for anybody, and they'll be united in the lake of fire, regret and torment forever. In the company of all the liars and thieves and hypocrites and murderers and rapists and child molesters and blasphemers. Is that the sort of people you want to rub shoulders with for the rest of eternity? Friends, it's a pretty sad indictment of the way the world is right now. Stuff that the Bible was talking about that 60 years ago we wouldn't even have considered as commonplace now. But you need to know, Christian, and when I say Christian, I mean Bible-believing, blood-washed, blood-bought Christian, that we are united to. We're not on our own, even if it seems like it from time to time. That indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Psalms refer to him as the friend that sticketh close to God. We are united with God Almighty forever. It wouldn't matter whether you were in an eight by four sheet of plasterboard, an 8x8 jail cell. God can be there with you. Wouldn't matter if you were in a packed church. God could be there with you. He promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us or cast us away. The moment that we're saved, that God that we worship, loves us and died for us. And he's never far from us. He can hear your whispered prayers, even the ones that you don't utter at all, as well as our outright cries of frustration and loss. We're always heard by our Father in heaven that we put our faith in. There was a fella in the book of Acts. His name was Saul. And he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Very, very strict minister. Very strict. And he made it his life's mission to get out there and to persecute early Christians. The disciples, their followers, the apostles. He made it his business to get out there and to stick one on them at every turn. People were locked up and put in jail. There was no court of human rights back then. If you went into jail, if you didn't have anybody to feed you, you died in jail. People died in his word. Their houses were taken at his word. Their riches were taken at his word. Their flocks, their lands. They were all secured by the law of the land and the day at the word of this man, Saul. But he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. And he changed. And he got saved. And he had a rough time. But even as he did, he wrote these words, the words of Romans chapter 8 and verse 39. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this man was a murderer and a thief. And these are the words that he penned. And these are the thoughts of his heart, that even for all that he had done, nothing could separate him from the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. And that, friends, God is no respecter of persons. And what he will do for Paul, he will do for you. And all you have to do, walk and talk with the Lord. You never know what he'll do for you. Amen. I'm going to stop there. Thank you very much. I appreciate your good time this morning. Does anybody know Mrs. Bradfield? I will pass over you.
When I see the blood.
Oh, very good. And number 20. That's it. If you would like to take and turn to number 20 in the big book, and join me on our feet as we sing, When I See the Blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
much in prayer. Well, the preacher said one time, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. But God bless you. Pray for safe travels home. Enjoy the rest of this excellent day. And say a prayer for some good weather as the week goes on, because it ain't looking good according to the BBC. But then they're not right about much else either. So, amen. Let's bow our heads and we'll be done with the wee word. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this little bit of time set aside to be reminded of your word, to have your word read to us, and Lord, to consider it and ponder. Please bless us as we part company. And Lord, I pray you too for your help, our daily bread, Lord, as we go. Please, Lord, be with all of those, Lord, that are in trouble right now. And I pray, Father, you point them to the foot of the cross. We just love you and thank you. And we pray all of these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. 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 Folks, God bless you.